I growled and called him something unkind yet accurate. He wouldn't stop begging me to take him to see that pirate movie, so I took him with me the last time I went to the drive-in down in Aurora, and he got into it. It's been dying down, but if he calls me matey one more time, I'll snap. Well, that's interesting, Thomas said, but that's not what I was asking about. Oh, right, I said. I pointed at the catnip bag. The leaf's in there. Isn't that going to draw Summer's goons here? I let out a nasty laugh. No, they can't see it through the wards around the lab. Then why the big rubber band? I linked Summer's beacon spell to the matrix around Little Chicago. Every time the leaf gets within a foot of the model, my spell transfers the beacon signal to the corresponding location in the city. Thomas narrowed his eyes in thought, and then suddenly grinned in understanding as Mr. pounced on the catnip again, this time landing near the Field Museum. If they're following that beacon, they'll be running all over town. In 2.5 feet of snow, I confirmed, grinning. You're sadistic. Thank you, I said solemnly. Won't they figure it out? Sooner or later, I admitted. But it should buy us a little time to work with. Excuse me. I shambled to the door and put on my coat. Where to first? Thomas asked. Nowhere just yet. Sit tight. I grabbed my square-headed snow shovel from the popcorn tin by the door, where it usually resided with my staff, sword cane, and the epically static magic sword, Fidelocius. Mouse followed me out. It was a job of work to get the door open, and more than a little snow spilled over the threshold. I started with shoveling the stairs and worked my way up, a grave digger in reverse. Once that was done, I shoveled the little sidewalk, the front porch of the boarding house, and the exterior stairs running up to the Willoughby's apartment on the second floor. Then I dug a path to the nest of mailboxes by the curb. It took me less time than I thought it would. There was a lot of snow, but it hadn't formed any layers of ice, and it was basically a question of tossing powder out of the way. Mouse kept watch, and I tried not to throw snow into his face. We returned to my apartment, and I slung the shovel's handle back down into the popcorn tin. Thomas frowned at me. You had to shovel the walk. Harry, somehow I'm under the impression that you aren't feeling the urgency here. In the first place, I said, I'm not terribly well motivated to bend over backward to save John Marcone's Armani-clad ass. I wouldn't lose much sleep over him. In the second place, my neighbors are elderly, and if someone doesn't clean up the walks, they'll be stuck here. In the third place, I've got to do whatever I can to make sure I'm on my landlady's good side. Mrs. Spunklecreef is almost deaf, but it's sort of hard to hide it when assassin demons or gangs of zombies kick down the door. She's willing to forgive me the occasional wild party because I do things like shovel the walk. It's easier to replace an apartment than your ass, Thomas said. I shrugged. I was so stiff and sore from yesterday that I had to do something to get my muscles loosened up and moving. The time was going to be gone either way. Might as well take care of my neighbors. I grimaced. Besides, you feel bad because your landlady's building sometimes gets busted up because you live in it, Thomas said. He shook his head and snorted. Typical. Well, yeah, but that's not it. He frowned at me, listening. I struggled to find the right words. There are a lot of things I can't control. I don't know what's going to happen in the next few days. I don't know what I'm going to face, what kind of choices I'm going to have to make. I can't predict it. I can't control it. It's too big. I nodded at my shovel. But that I can predict. I know that if I pick up that shovel and clear the snow from the walkways, it's going to make my neighbors safer and happier. I glanced at him and shrugged. It's worthwhile. To me. Give me a minute to shower.